taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the members, how to donate, how to contribute. They have a learning center. You can go to the learning center with a whole bunch of information that you can learn about black history, black economics, just community building, all the things that we need to make our community strong. Remember, that website is www.pactsinc.org. As you already know, while you're online, visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick, this show, the Freedom Train podcast series, and all of the other many shows that we have, the Fix Sports podcast, Lessons from the Screen, the Black and Nickel Money Party, the Enigma Self Hour, and all of the other shows that we have on www.freedomtrainradio.com. We got an app. Pat been telling you about the app. Go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Network. That way you can get down with our app. That way you can stay in touch with everything that we got. Get them notifications coming right to your phone, and you can stay in touch. Because we put it down and we do it how we do it. Pat.
Yo.
What did it look like?
Thundercat.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, man. You got a Patreon page, don't you?
Take a look. It's in the book of Reading Rainbow. Yes, I do.
Tell them about your Patreons.
So Lessons from the Screen has a Patreon page. You support Patreon. The Fix has a Patreon page as well. All of the Free to Train Network shows will eventually get a Patreon page at some point. But in most instances, you can get to the Patreon pages by typing in www.patreon.com/TheFix or Lessons from the Screen will be /LTFS, or you can go to the show pages on the website. But anyways, my Patreon page, like all other Patreon pages, is a page where you can go to support Lessons from the Screen. Yeah. And if you become a member or if you become a Patreon of the show, then you get certain perks, certain benefits. You also gain access to my show notes, which for those of you who haven't seen my show notes, the show is only about 20 minutes long, but I write a damn book. On each show. It's a lot of information condensed. It's a lot of links. It's a lot of things available where you can go and do additional research on the shows if you want, if you're interested. So that's that. That's my Patreon. Joe.
Yeah.
You got a Patreon page, don't you?
Ooh, going down www.patreon.com/TheFix. And you know, we're taking this on the road. We're looking for your contributions to help improve what we're doing on the Fix Sports Podcast, but overall for the Freedom Train Network. Make sure that we can improve our quality, improve our equipment, and improve our presence within our various communities around the country, because we want to become more of a resource. So that's where your contributions are going to go to. So go ahead and become a patron. Go ahead and do that. And guess what? God will bless your heart. Hallelujah. That's what he told me to tell you, so do that. Do that. What we got today, Pat? What's up?
And our guest can answer if she has an answer, even though Joe ain't introduced her yet.
I'm trying to, but you got questions.
You feel me?
Right.
But I got a question. Why is it that when God got a message for me, he always give it to somebody else?
You know, because
see,
that's a church. That's a churchism, because I feel like you know, apply that to your natural relationships. If my man wants to give me a message or words of affection, why would he give it to another person to give it to me?
Hey, hallelujah!
You give it to me directly,
saying.
Right?
See, now if the message is given to me, because you're not ready to fully receive it, right? So he gave it to me so I could tell you it the way I want you to receive it to benefit me.
But if I ain't going to listen to God, I ain't going to listen to you.
You bet, Pat, you better say it.
But still, see, it's about the process, not the end result. See, you understand how you can do it? So I know. So y'all might be wondering, who is that? Whose voice is that? Whose voice is that? So this young lady, one of the people who I truly, truly, truly enjoy being around, she's a fellow author. She used to live here in Tallahassee, Florida. She's in Tampa, Florida, not correct?
Correct.
She escaped.
Okay, she's Tampa, Florida. Right, you got out. I'm proud of you. You ran away. You're out of here, but...
It was time.
Right.
Hey, man, she run away. She escaped. There's a difference.
Escaped. That. All right, whatever. We're going to use that word, escaped. From the first time I put on an event as an author, she was there to support. But she was also there as an author because she's one of the authors that I connected to in the city in the beginning when I first started doing more things for myself. And what I dug about her is she had that hustle that you look for in somebody that you want to connect with, not somebody who's just doing it because everybody else is doing it, but she's doing it because it was a passion of hers. But her interest expanded further than just writing books. At that time, she had one book. Now she has a plethora of books, screenplays, and a resume to match. Her name is Alicia Hall. She is the founder of Chosen Entertainment Incorporated. And as founder and president, Alicia stands firm in the company's values of compassion, integrity, authenticity, and achievement. Creating content that inspires, motivates, and encourages is Alicia's goal on her journey to become one of the leading entertainment companies. Alicia is an entrepreneur, author, screenwriter, script developer, and consultant. So I want Pat to get ready, the man in the little shirt to get ready. Everybody get up off your feet, put your hands together for Alicia Hall.
That introduction touched me, Joe.
I appreciate it. I've been trying to get my introductions together.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. But straight up though, like you are one of my favorites though, for real, because you one of the people who I can't just come out with you. I got to have my shit together when I'm with you, because if not, you gonna lap somebody, and I can't let you lap me like that. But I like that because you make people around you better. You make people want to make sure they own their stuff, and then you're willing to help. You're willing to give information, but you're a good example for somebody who want to be a writer, who want to be able to do what they want to do, because you had an idea of things that you wanted to do. You were patient, you persevered, and then you didn't have fear. You didn't let fear stop you. You jumped. You took that leap. You took that step, and now you're out. You're supporting yourself. You're able to live off of your craft, and that has to be celebrated because you did that, and I was actually able to watch you do it. So.
I appreciate that.
Ain't no problem. So,
and low key, what you just admitted was you don't typically have your shit together.
Nah, that ain't what I'm saying.
That's not what he said.
See, Pat got dropped on his head like 12 times when he was a baby.
Hey, you the one that said when I come out with you, I gotta make sure that I have my shit together.
Man, that's just like the same thing. If you playing with LeBron and you think you good, you still gotta have your stuff together, right?
No, I don't. If I'm playing with LeBron, I'm taking the night off.
I bet you would.
Well, I'll break my back for you, the best player in the world. Go do some best player in the world stuff.
Shut up.
Even the greats need help, you know, because they didn't pull that game out, you know.
Well, I dribble the ball up the court. That's help.
Yeah.
You know.
He just happened to be on the team.
Right. I'm just here. Anyways.
Pat, you got the first question, man. Let's kick this off so they can get to know her a little better.
Right. Well, how I got the first question, you just asked the first question.
I did?
Yes. You said, Pat, you got the first question, so let them know. So ask the first question so they can know her a little bit better. That's the first question.
Okay. Your turn.
No, go ahead and ask the question, Joe. You stepping all on my toes. I'll go put ice on my pinky toe.
You confuse me, but you want, okay.
I'm confused too, but okay.
So can you tell the people who Miss Hall is? Hey, I had a question. When you were a kid, did anybody make any stupid jokes about your last name being Hall and having to take, like, Hall's cough drops or anything like that?
No, you know what's so funny? No one ever made fun of my name. But interestingly, because I always was writing stuff, I always had this image of writing at Hallmark. So when I would write little cards to people, I would always sign it Alicia Hall-Mark. So I guess I kind of played myself out, but I always use the Hallmark kind of situation
right.
when I wrote cards to people.
Huh.
Right. But how did your mind go to Hall's cough drops?
I don't know. I'm weird.
I know. I thought you were going to say, like, did anybody say, like, hallway, hall pass?
Yeah,
like,
me
something
too.
Like that, but never Hall's cough drop.
Told you it would drop.
I'm weird. I admittedly, I'm a little different.
I love it, though.
So, anyways, now that I have thoroughly embarrassed myself, which is kind of procedure for the first 15 minutes of the show, tell the people a little bit about, you know, who you are and what influenced you to become a writer. Motivation. Yeah.
Well, who Alicia is? Alicia is a simple young woman with a lot of dreams, and I believe that I have the ability to make them all come true. I'm humorous. I'm honest. I tell it like it is. I'm very blunt. However, it's filled with compassion. And what motivated me to become a writer was simply the act of falling in love with stories. I loved it. Whenever I was a child and I would read certain books, I could visualize what was happening in the book. Or if I was reading something and I didn't like the direction of the story, I felt like I could do a better job at explaining the story that I wanted to read myself. So that's kind of what started me on the journey of writing.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's key, one of the key things that you said, because we're in a time now where anybody can become a writer and publish a book and put it out. So you do have a market filled with books, but not, I wouldn't say necessarily filled with people who were influenced to be a writer totally, or totally are, you know, those writers, more so than people seeing the opportunity. So when you get somebody who has that real passion about writing, those kind of the ones I know I want to gravitate toward, because I don't want to buy no book for somebody who's just trying to make some money. I want a good book, a good, well-written book. So that's why I'm at that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I've picked up some books, and I'm like, this person has zero passion for what they're doing.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, they just want the accolades of saying I published something, or my work is in a bookstore, so on and so forth. But there's definitely a difference between, you know, just the act of writing and someone having a passion for it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's because I used to read for Audible, audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, like, Joe, you're right. Anybody can write a book nowadays, but that don't mean you should.
Right.
Because, boy, I've read some books that have me about to give up on humanity. Like, I mean, I read a book that had a 4-page chapter with literally no punctuation.
Wow.
Yeah. Like you're reading a Facebook post these days.
Right. And I'm just like, and they put it out, and I was like, 4 pages, no punctuation, capital letter at the start of the chapter, period at the end of the chapter, nothing in the middle, not a comma, not even a double space, not just no punctuation. And I got to figure out how this is supposed to be read. Like, what's the message? Like, so when you guys say, like, passion, I mean, I don't know. There's a skill. There's an art to writing.
It's
crazy.
Like I admit, when I go back and I read some of the things that I wrote like 4, 5, 6 years ago, now I'm like, who the hell wrote this? Because I wasn't that good back then, but now I've gotten better, and you know, through the process, and I wanted to get better, but it just seems like, you know, some people just don't go back and get review their stuff to get better. They just be writing, because there's no way, like, you shouldn't put out a book and it's a full paragraph, look like you talking to somebody from Atlanta with just a period at the end and just everything run together. You might well throw some, you know what I'm saying, shouters in the middle of it. Like, come on now.
That's one of the downfalls about self-publishing, because you really don't have anyone true to critique your work. You know, if you go with a publishing company, they'll tell you straight up, I'm not publishing that. You know, when you're doing something on your own, it doesn't matter your punctuation, your, you know, if someone edited it, proofread it, it's completed, you got a cover, boom, I'm going to just do it. So to me, that's kind of like the major downfall of, you know, self-publishing.
Right.
True, but that also shows, like, a self-published author is somebody that is truly showing the world what they think about themselves and how seriously they take themselves. Because, like you said, there isn't anybody there to stop you. Like, so you can put out whatever level of trash you want to put out, or you could have a little bit of pride in your work and make sure that you take the net, because you also don't have no timetables. So you could take as much time as you need to make sure that you put out a quality offering. So when I read somebody's self-published work and it's put together, and you could tell when somebody really tried to put it together, it just, you know, they just might not have had the knowledge or the expertise or the experience, but they really tried. Mm-hmm. You can tell that, and I got that much more respect for you, because I understand you appreciate, you value me as a reader and my time, and you value yourself and your craft, and you're putting everything you can into it. So, you know, but you're right. But that's the self-published authors, like, we definitely got to step our game up. We got to take that seriously. Like, so being self-published is a bad thing, because you got a lot of people out there who's putting out trash and making the whole, painting the whole genre is being just ass. So I feel like we off topic.
Hey, man, you know, we on topic because we dropping game. There you go. So, but while we're talking about self-published, because Alicia, that's the journey you took. You self-published off.
Right.
And, you know, you like myself, other people, Patrick, you know, we took our bumps and bruises. You had to learn. But the first book that you published, you know, when I first met you, you had your poetry book, Personal Space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's been a while since we had you on this show. It's been a good while. So, because you get refresh our memories about what we know, it's a poetry book, but the overall concept, the overall themes of the book, and why did you choose to release a poetry book as your first book?
I chose to release a poetry book first because personally, it's the only body of work that's sacred for me. You know, when you write fiction, you can hide behind the characters. But for me, poetry is very personal. It's very transparent. It's just me, bare. I don't believe there was a better way for me to introduce myself to the world as a writer than, you know, other than releasing my poetry book. As far as what caused me to the concept of the book, I was very deep into ministry and a particular church in Tallahassee. And like my last year and a half there, things just started changing. And I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, what's happening is very different from what we claim to be and who we claim to be. And I began to feel as if I don't belong here anymore, you know, or my time is up. It was definitely a place of control, manipulation, emotional abuse, financial abuse, so on and so forth. And when I left, and I was going through the process of experiencing freedom and release for myself, I decided to write a poetry book to kind of talk about my journey. So the book is filled with poems on politics, to religion, spirituality, forgiveness, and love. But it was like that, it was like my baby. I was going through all this labor and tumultuous situations there, but it birthed something beautiful. And so personally, so that's one of the main reasons why I decided to go that route.
Okay.
Now, yeah. When you say, I'm sorry, Joe.
Go ahead.
And you don't have to answer this question, but I am curious. Was the pastor of that church jumping out of windows?
What? No.
I knew where he was.
Where did that come from? What is that?
They're talking about our favorite pastor, OJ.
Oh, Lord. You are a trip. No.
This is true.
Okay, I just got it. Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Oh, man. That is fun. Boy, you stupid. That's our favorite pastor right there. Shout out to OJ. But nah, that's like I say, because you know, that's your first book, and you putting yourself out there too, as far as things that are personal to you, and you're changing in that environment. So, what do you think made you want to put your feelings in writing rather than just kind of bottle them up or kind of just go with the flow?
It was my outlet. Like, you know how some people, they can go and they, you know, they act out in different ways when they've experienced something, something life-changing, life-altering. Some people, you know, they start drinking excessively, smoking, you know what I'm saying, being promiscuous. So for me, it was like I had all of this stuff going on and I had to find an outlet. And writing just became that outlet for me. It was a situation that I could use, that I could just write everything out uninterrupted. I didn't have anyone asking me questions. I was just able to get everything out as slowly as they came, some as quickly as they came. But it was just, for me, a natural flow. Like, that was my only resort to get those things out. Like, I was talking to people about what I experienced. They gave me some, you know, some advice or what have you. But it was, like, the best therapy for me was just getting all of that stuff out on paper.
Pat.
Oh, don't be sad. I was on mute. So, you know, I'm great at advice.
Okay.
So, you know, I used to offer advice to people, and sometimes, you know, that it would be really good advice. So I'm okay. Good.
What?
I'm good at advice if you need any, you know, like I got all kinds of advice. Like the other day, right, I was trying to cut my fingernails and I was using a toenail clipper.
Right.
And
right.
It wasn't working. Right. So I told myself, I was using a fingernail clipper. So I told myself, your nails on your hands are kind of thick. Maybe you should get a toenail clipper. And so I got a toenail clipper and it worked better. And so that's just an example of the quality of advice that I give. It's good advice.
Well, you just
hey, man, you
don't
be saving
like
lives.
Too many people, huh?
Right.
Yeah, he be saving lives.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm just, like, I'm here. I'm a resource, is what I'm saying.
I thank you for that. I'll be sure to use that whenever, a fingernail clipper ain't working for me.
Right, you know, because we got to support each other. We got to be here for
Absolutely.
Each other. So,
Absolutely.
You know, you mean the world to me.
You are my everything. I'm sorry.
Yes, Tony. Yes.
Tony, is that your middle name?
Tony Braxton. Tony Braxton.
Oh, she calls you a female, Joe.
No. He was saying
it's a song. You mean the world to me. Come on, man.
Hey, man, I'm
on,
just
Pat.
Trying to figure out why
act
you
like you black.
Getting dissed all the time. And you know,
act,
I got
act like you black people, man. Nah, don't
hey,
be
man.
Trying to some of your misunderstandings off on
Toni
me.
Toni Braxton is she, does she count?
That's far for what? What?
So you mean the world to me. You know, what's that?
Well, you mean the world to me.
Right, we're talking about your stuff. We ain't talking about Toni Braxton.
I just want to make sure we're on the same level. You feel me? But You Mean the World to Me is my second book, my first novel. And it's a coming-of-age story that follows the life of Nia Willis from the ages of 15 to 21. And basically, she's learning to maneuver through life without her mother, who died when she was 12. Her father is raising her along with her overprotective brother. She's been warned and advised, but it's like, is she really prepared for the pitfalls of life? So along her journey, she's faced with situations that teaches her about friendship, love, betrayal, and forgiveness. So with You Mean the World to Me, the concept, it just came as a thought. I thought about me and my friends at that age and what the world looked like through my eyes in those times of life, and I wanted to tell that story, a story from someone who was real, who didn't always make the right decisions or chose the best path. And I just wanted to tell a realistic story because, you know, sometimes you read novels and they seem so far-fetched, and I wanted to create something that a 15-year-old or 16-year-old today could pick up and they could relate to them just as it related to 15, 16-year-old me.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. And I wrote it, like, from my time. So, like, I make a lot of song references that were hot, like when I was, you know, in 9th grade, 10th grade, so on and so forth. So it was interesting because some people who left me reviews and stuff had never heard of certain songs. And they was like, I had to go to YouTube to find out what you were talking about, but those songs was popping. And I'm like, yeah. So it's like a real you know, just very realistic. I wanted it to be like nostalgic for some people. I wanted to speak to the youth. I wanted to speak to people who are in that time frame where you don't know who you are. You're trying to find yourself along with making, you know, certain errors or bad choices that we make at that age, and let them know that it is okay. However, there are certain decisions that we make that have lifelong consequences. So I wanted it to be entertaining. I wanted it to be humorous, but I also wanted to give a message within the novel as well.
Like, did you have a reference for Back That Ass Up?
That's what I was going to ask.
You know what? I did not. I had references for, what was it? I think I had Hot in Here by Nelly. I had, I referenced Anita Baker, like stuff I heard growing up in my household on Saturday when you got to get up and clean. Luther Vandross, Brandy, Tony Terry, With You, because that's my favorite song of all time. So references like that. But I didn't have Juvenile them in there. Or I had Lights, Camera, Action by Mr. Cheek.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was hot in here. But wait, I wasn't in high school when that came out. I think I was done.
Yeah, that's still the come up time, but with a little bit of, Melly had 5-4 songs.
Yeah, he was, and then he became a country singer
for a little bit. You feel me?
You know. So you drop Personal Space
in your
drop. You Mean the World to Me. So you got two platinum albums, two platinum books out, and then you decide to write Breathe Again.
And I will never breathe again.
See how they do something to you?
See, right. See, he was talking something the first time, now he's saying.
I don't know. Like, what I just did was different, though.
Whatever. But, of course, y'all see it's Toni Braxton thing, and so she's going to explain that to you. But Breathe Again is your third book, so how is Breathe Again different from You Mean the World to Me, and what's it about?
Well, Breathe Again is the sequel to You Mean the World to Me. It picks up exactly where You Mean the World to Me left off. So every unanswered question that fans might have after reading You Mean the World to Me will be answered in Breathe Again. So with this book, some of her past comes back, and she has to make, you know, she's in like a tug of war with her feelings. 21 years old, sometimes you're not very, you know, emotionally sound, you know, at that age. So a lot of the decisions that she makes are based on how she feels, and not really, what's what I'm looking for? She's not really thinking logically about some of the decisions that she makes. So in this book, you know, her life is a little different. She has a child now. Well, she has a child at the end of the previous book, but, you know, she has a child, and her being young herself, wanting to make the right decisions for her life, wanting to make the right decisions for her child. However, sometimes the two clash. So she's just trying to maneuver through life as a young adult, as a mother, however, not being with the father of her child. How do I really make this work without allowing my emotions to govern my life? So she's in that place in the second book. But it's dope. Like, you mean the world to me. And Breathe Again.
Thank you.
I'm not writing another novel for a little minute, but those two books, they're very entertaining. Still the same, you know, having a message at the end, having a message within the story. excuse me, but yeah, it's a sequel, so it answers all the questions that were left unanswered in the first book.
You know, every time we have a novelist on that writes fictional narratives, I'm always a little bit jealous. Because I can't write fictional novels. I've tried.
Oh.
I get about two chapters in, and then I forget what I said two chapters ago, and I start, the narrative just becomes a disjumbled mess, because I want the story to go somewhere, but I'm not connecting the dots, and I'm mad because I got to connect the dots, but I don't want to connect the dots. I'm just trying to go where I'm trying to go. So the whole narrative process of, all right, I want the character to go from here to here, and I got to break down this whole process of how this happens, right, so that an outside person can understand it. I've come to the conclusion that it's a skill that I don't have, and one that I'm not necessarily patient enough to develop. But I'm still jealous, because it's a wonderful skill to have. Like the ability to create a world that makes sense to other people.
Right.
That is an extremely powerful skill.
So you want people to realize that. Yeah, I connect Horace and Shanika in that time that Horace stole Shanika's car and went to the bank. But before he went to the bank, he went to Tiny House.
You already making more sense than my stuff, mate.
I'm just saying, you know Horace. You know,
because I'd be like, all right, so it was a cool summer afternoon, and Derek was playing with his friend Billy and Bob. But then Derek graduated from high school, and Billy got locked up, but Bob was dead.
And you know, attention.
It's just like, wait a second. How did we get here? They was just playing.
Right.
Your focus. Yeah, your focus is different.
Yeah. Oh. Trust me, I've read some books like that, or you get in the middle of the book, and they put the wrong names to the situations, and it completely jacks your mind up. And I just closed the book after that, because I'm like, I was flowing with the story. But now Billy was dating Gina, now Bob dating Gina. What happened to the first one? What happened?
Right.
So
what I told myself was that, okay, well, maybe I just got a different sense of time than most people. So I need to write one of those temporal books, one of those time-skipping type books.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I try to do that, I mess it up.
Hey, man,
that's just not your niche. You just got to find your niche.
You're right. But I'm upset because, like, I'm not upset, but I am jealous. I'll be completely honest. I'm not big jealous. Like, I'm not big mad. I'm just a little like, damn, why can't I do that? Because, like I said, the power to create a world from scratch and make it make sense to other people, and you can drop other nuggets in there, like, that is an extremely powerful gift. You know, like that, like, science fiction moves science forward. The fact that somebody
true
in their brain thought of this advanced world with all of these advanced concepts and whatnot. That drives the next generation of kids that read those things to be like, damn, how can I create that? And that's how the shit happens.
Right.
So, but you know, so I'm in awe and jealous, not big jealous. So I don't like saying jealous, but jelly. I'm a little jelly. Need some peanut butter on it. But anyways, right. I want a peanut butter jelly sandwich now. Go ahead, Joe.
Whatever, man. So,
hey, Joe, can you do that?
Do what?
What she do?
Man, we gonna come back. We come back to that.
Hey, man, we having a conversation. She's involved.
We gonna come
right
back sometimes. But in addition to poetry, you write poetry, you publish books, nonfiction books, and movie scripts are also something that you can write. You don't just sit around and do books. So how did you get into writing scripts? Like, because I know you started with the poetry and the book. So how did you get into writing movie scripts? And what's the difference between writing a book and writing a movie script?
The interesting thing is I've been writing scripts since I was in the sixth grade. I was heavily influenced by the television show Moesha. And because I love the show so much, I figured that I could write my own show. And that's what I did. So I had a computer in my room, and I would sit in front of that thing for hours. And I created a TV show called Keisha, of course, due to Moesha. And I created the characters. I created all these different, scenarios. And I had like 18 episodes in the sixth, seventh grade. And I just fell in love with the art of telling a story. So, at that time, I didn't know how to research, movie scripts or whatever on the internet. But because I was such a huge Brandy fan, she had just did I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. And they released a book, but it was the actual script of the movie. And I'm like, oh, this is how you write a movie script. So I just took what they gave in that book, and I just started applying it to my own story. So I really have been writing scripts since the sixth grade. So that's how I actually became involved with writing scripts. The difference between, writing books and writing scripts, script writing is so technical. When you write a story, you just flow with it. You just write it out, of course, punctuation and, verb usage and all that stuff like that. But when you're writing a script, not only are you writing dialogue, but you're giving specific instructions within your script. So it's like when an actor comes and they pick up that script, it's almost like their Bible. Everything they need to know about that character, me as a script writer should have everything they need within their script. So it's like it's so technical. So if I want you to be mad, I have to explain how mad I want you to be. Joe comes in, he sits on the couch, angered by what Sophia did, to the point that he can't stop shaking his leg and scratching his head. Like, you have to be so technical and specific within the directions within your script.
Okay, so, but like and we mentioned briefly earlier before we started the interview, like I'm saying, if the movie is an hour and 50 minutes long, that's 150 pages. So each page is constituting like those minutes and things. And, so, like you're saying, it's breakdown, like Jonathan jumps through the window and chokes Rebecca while Rebecca reverse kicks him in the eye with the back of her heel and it has to be all that broken down, plus the lines that they have to say, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's interesting. Like, you have to find the balance. Like you said, one page equals a minute, but if half of your page is simply, it's instructions or directions, that still plays into that minute. So it's like, finding the balance between the dialogue and the action within your, within your film.
So what Sophia do to Joe?
See, I haven't thought that far. I was just giving an example.
She probably cheated on him with his best
friend. It could be Sophia took money out of their account without letting him know he go to purchase something and his card is declined. So
that'd do it.
Who could possibly do that was Sophia.
Because that's embarrassing when your car get declined,
exactly.
Especially when it's a line behind you.
Exactly.
Not if it's an EBT card.
Nah, that's even more embarrassing if
that's
it's
even
EBT.
Worse. That's even worse.
Getting sold them stamps, huh?
Yo, man. I leave all my stuff right there at the register. You know what? I left my good card in the car. I'll be back.
Right. You gotta do something with that.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's cool that people can write scripts, and I just think it's extra cool that I know you and you know how to write scripts. So, yay.
Yes, it's a cool thing.
Moesha.
Yeah.
That was the show. I ain't like the Parkers, but Moesha.
Yeah, Brandon
did
that shit.
The Parkers was a spinoff for Moesha Winter.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a fan of the Parkers. What was that?
That was with
Monique.
Monique used to always be sexually harassing Moesha Daddy, right?
Nah, not Moesha Daddy, Professor Ogilvy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Professor.
Mm-hmm.
Sexually harassing.
Well, she was sexually harassing somebody.
She was stalking. She was stalking him heavily.
Yeah.
Nah, that was sexual harassment, bro.
I mean, yeah. Heavily stalking, too.
Mm-hmm.
Saying heavily stalking. There was no stalking going. There was stalking going on, but it was... So how was that a spinoff though? Like what character came off
Kim,
of Moesha?
Kim and Monique were characters.
Oh, that's right. The daughters was friends.
Yeah. So, I'm scrolling through social media the other day. Well, not the other day, maybe a month ago or something like that. And mm-hmm. I see a post, and it's one of your posts, Alicia. And it's about a screenplay or short story, What If, that you're working on. So I know it's something you're still working on. I don't want you to give away all your information or whatever, but as much as you could tell us about What If, like what is it, why did you decide to write it, you know, give us a whole spiel about your short story.
Okay. I'm really excited about this, but What If is a love story. About a couple named Ryan and Remy, and they're celebrating their one-year anniversary. So on the night of their anniversary, they bump into Ryan's ex-man, and all mm-hmm. hell begins to break loose once Remy, her current man, poses the question, what if, to her? Because he sees the way that she looks at her ex, and he's alarmed by this because he's never seen her look at someone else like this before. And so he poses the question, what if? So I really wanted to play with that question because normally when someone poses a question, what if, is normally a hypothetical question or it's a question that can possibly plant seeds of doubt. And that's exactly what happens to Ryan. So I wanted to create a story that explores two things. What happens when we don't effectively deal with our past, and what if it's still a possibility? And I really wanted to know, the second thing I wanted to know was, what would a man's insecurity look and sound like in regard to allowing jealousy to creep in his heart concerning his woman? You know, like, I'm sure it would be played out in different ways, but I really wanted to depict a true display of an insecurity, because normally, like, when we watch shows or whatever, men are normally, I guess they have insecurities, but it's silent or it may show up in subtle ways. But I wanted to play with that idea of what if this man is just out with how he feels about this, you know, situation. So I'm really excited about this particular short film. It's only going to be like 30 minutes, so that has been a challenge, you know. And I might do two parts to it, but without giving away too much, that's the overall concept of the movie.
Are you familiar with the Aspire channel? I think it's like one of the BET TV1 channels, Aspire.
Aspire? No, I haven't heard of it.
It's I ran across it through one of these channels that I got with this CenturyLink. I don't have the channel no more. I've changed my package. But still, when I used to watch it, David Banner used to host, I forgot the name of the series, but they used to, like, artists like you, writers like you, directors like you, they used to take your films that you put together and show them on this channel. So let's say Sundays, they'll show all like the short films made by Black directors and things like that. So that's something you could look into as well. With
oh,
that.
I definitely will.
That's intriguing.
I appreciate it.
I wonder, is that based off of your own personal experiences, like the dude ask you what if?
I've asked myself what if based on a old situation that was trying to make itself new again. And I had asked myself what if, because I believe sometimes when you oppose that, like this particular character, she's sure, I want to be with my man, I love my man, but as he continues to dig with this what if, she begins to question herself, and that's something that I was doing, like, well, am I really over him? Do I really think this thing can work? And in my story, it was like a hell no. It's done. It's a wrap. There is no going back. You know, but with her, I don't know how I want to take the story, but a little bit of it is, you know, from personal experiences.
Because that's interesting to me, because I've been in, I'm not a jealous dude in terms of your past relationships. I'll say that. But I do want to make sure that you're over it before you move forward with me. So
exactly.
I have been, and that's why I say it's interesting, because the angle you presented was an angle that I've thought about, but haven't really thought about it to the level that you just made me consider it when you put forth your premise. Is when you have a situation where you're with a person and you get to see them interact in the space with their ex, and they do interact differently. Like it is like a, you know, like you can see that there's still something there. So, and it's not like, and that's why I say it's interesting, because from the space of a man being jealous, and we all know that men are never jealous. Like, let's get that out the way right there. Men can't be jealous. We don't have jealous bones in our bodies. But it's just interesting to paint that picture of a guy who is jealous but isn't necessarily comfortable enough in his own skin or in his own space to just come out and say what the issue is. So you just start digging, hoping to eventually
exactly.
hit something where you get what you want. But
yeah.
then, on the other hand, the effect that has on the woman, who maybe in your digging, you're causing her to confront things that blah, blah. Like, that sounds interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to see how that played out on screen.
Yeah, me too, because I don't know. I'm still stuck in how I want to end it, so I'm still playing with it. But you hit it right on the head about, you know, he's digging, and the deeper he digs, it's almost like the more confused she becomes. Because now I have to go back and deal with this stuff that I thought I was over.
Well,
they say the best way, you know who mm-hmm.
they is.
What
they always
say?
Saying
mm-hmm.
stuff that mess people up. But they say the best way to figure out if you over somebody is to get in a relationship with somebody else.
Yeah.
They messed that up in the movie, so we know they messed that up in real life.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So both of y'all disagree with that?
Yeah.
The best way
I knew you were gonna say that.
Is to get into a relationship with someone else.
Yeah,
under somebody.
I totally disagree. I think that's so unfair.
Yeah.
I think that's so unfair, because like with this particular story, she's been with her current man for a year, and so of course, you know, as the movie progresses, you learn the backstory between her and her ex, what really happened, you know, the layers of their relationship, and she truly believed, or it could be the possibility that she really is over him. But I think when you truly know that you're not over someone, that to me, that's incredibly selfish. You know what I'm saying? To bring someone into your space when you know you're not over your previous relationship.
Yeah, I mean, look at Love and Basketball.
I ain't never seen that.
Oh,
what?
Oh, wait. No, I've seen Love and Basketball with Sanaa Lathum.
I was about to hang up on you.
I thought you said, for some reason, Love and Hip Hop played in my head, and I was like, I ain't never seen that. I ain't never watched Love and Hip Hop. But go ahead.
Love and Basketball, where he was about to marry Tyra Banks, but he was still in love with Monica.
Yeah, and he got all hurt and was all woo-woo-woo, and she made it to the WNBA, and they tried to pretend like she was making She was making enough money in the WNBA to provide for a family, when we all know that once she got off the court, she had to go be a substitute school teacher to make ends meet.
For that time in the WNBA.
Well, she actually worked in her father's bank, but we can go with that.
I like substitute school teacher, brother.
That's what I'm saying. We can go with that. That sounds good too.
Yeah. All
right. So I'm with you. So go ahead. Love and Hip Hop. Love and Basketball. Love and that movie you just said.
Chosen Entertainment, though. That's your company. That's your baby. That's the enterprise that you built. You're the president and CEO of Chosen Entertainment. So can you give us an overview of the services you provide and why you decided to create Chosen Entertainment?
Yes, my services include, but are not limited to, script development, script writing, proofreading, editing services, consulting work, book publishing. I also write music, so you know, there's some producers out there and they need somebody to write some lyrics for them. You know, I got you. But really, you know, the business came from my desire to help people fulfill their dreams. I remember one of the first things that I did, one of my first contracts with someone, it was a surprise. She wasn't expecting it. And once I delivered the product, she didn't even know she was reading her words. And once she realized it was her words she was reading, she began to cry. She was so just happy and so excited. And the feeling that gave me, I'm like, I want to experience this as much as possible. Like, to see a gift that you have and the effect that it can have on someone else. Like, I was just like so overwhelmed by her response. And I'm like, dang, I got to help as many people as possible with whatever idea or dream that they have. If they have the vision, I want to help them manifest that thing. So that's basically what my company is all about.
Helping others help themselves.
Absolutely.
So,
and then, you know, with my own stuff, you know, with everything that I do personally, you know, I want to just produce meaningful content that's displayed across all media outlets, from music to movies to books to anything that I can get my, you know, get my foot in the door in. I want to do that.
So you edit historical books?
I haven't, but I would sure do it.
Okay. Cool.
It'll be a first.
Cool. It'll come already with at least two rounds of edits before I get to you, though.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm
having to learn how to self-edit myself, because I ain't been able to develop a positive, meaningful relationship with no editors. So
really.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of picky, because I don't want to be looking for a new editor every single time I put out a book. Like, I want to have this relationship where I have an editor, we talk, they understand how I see the world, I understand how they see the world, and they understand that I want an editing process that's kind of like a co-process where we actually have dialogue and conversation about
exactly
what's going on, not just I send you a copy, you mark it up, and you send it back. I don't want an editor like that.
Yeah, so I think that's horrible. That's horrible. Then you have one of the things that I do is that, because my whole thing is, I think sometimes editors get it into their mind that they're telling their story and you're not.
Right.
So
right.
You want to make sure that the story that you're editing, it's still that person's story.
Right.
Your job is to only what's the word I'm looking for? Your duty is to enhance what's already there. It's not to take away and change.
Right. And preferably, I would like an editor that can do it all. We're talking about line edits, content edits, spell smithing and grammar edits, and you know, like, because you know, yeah. I don't necessarily want to deal with four or five different editors that are doing various different things. So the biggest beef has just been bumping in the editors, who they feel like the editing process is me sending them their my stuff and them sending it back and not wanting to have dialogue while they're editing, you know. And it's not like I'm going to tell you how to edit or whatnot. I just, like, for certain things, I think there should be a discussion. Let me know.
You should. You should.
You're making this change. Why are you making this change? Do you understand what I meant? Do I understand what you mean when you say, well, it could be better worded if you do it this way? Well, is that right. going to take away from the content or the message or the, you know, like, let's talk about it. So
absolutely.
I'm looking. Are you that kind of editor? Because I'm looking for that. But I'm very time consuming.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take my editor, Pat. I'm trying to take my editor.
You already got three, bro. Shit.
Go ahead. Edit that man's work.
Can't have all the editors.
Yes, I can.
Joe want every editor on the planet to edit his book.
I see.
Hey, man. Hey, free Larry Hoover. Okay? In the words of Kanye, free Larry Hoover. All right?
No, because I got two projects. One project has been in editing for about 3 or 4 years now.
Right.
I know editors is editors, right? But I refuse to put our work that's unedited. So
Absolutely.
And another project has been in editing for about another 2 years now. So, and I'm also not a fan of editing your own work, which is kind of why I've fallen into this place where, fuck it, I just got to do what I got to do. Because I feel like you need a second set of eyes that aren't yours.
You do.
It doesn't matter how long you stepped away from it. You need somebody else to look at it.
You do.
So I would love to get those projects out. That's why I'm mentioning the editor. Joe knows that because Joe's been telling me that I've been sitting on my hands and I need to just do it.
Well. Alicia, could you tell people your website for your services so they can know where to go to get your services?
Yeah, tell us.
Yes, if anyone is interested, it's www.hustlequeenlee.as.me. www.hustlequeenlee.as.me.
Okay.
She know her worth.
Ooh. So,
you feel me?
Now,
prices, I ain't mad at you. I know my
straight
worth.
Up B.
You know?
Straight up B. Now, I want to ask this because you got the you gave yourself the title Hustle Queen.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a lot of people who call themselves a lot of various things, but they don't necessarily live up to the things that they call themselves. So the mindset and everything, why is having hustle important for entrepreneurs, and how has that Hustle Queen mindset helped you reach your specific goal?
Plainly put, excuse me, if you're not grinding, you're not going to be successful. Point blank, period. You know, if you're not putting in the work, if you're not making connections, you are not going to be successful. I personally believe that everyone can be good, but only a few will be great. And work ethic is what separates the two. And for me personally, I just feel like I would be doing myself an injustice to have all these ideas, all these things I want to do, you know, floating around in my head and not manifest them. You know, and I just believe that I'm only working and competing against myself, and I refuse to let myself down. So, you know, when I say hustle, I don't necessarily mean like having all these different jobs. But what I mean is whatever it is that you have that you want to produce, that you want to manifest, you have to be intentional in making sure that you're getting those things done, whether it's, hey, when I get off work, an hour and a half is dedicated to this. The next 30 minutes is going to be dedicated to this. So, you know, a lot of your hustle is done in secret, where people may not know what you're doing. So, you know, it's not all about what's posted on social media, but, you know, you got to be putting in that work, you know, while you home, while you on your break, if you have a regular job, you know, there are things to show how serious you are about, you know, your work ethic and what it is that you're really trying to do. So for me, it's just that I just refuse to fail. I refuse to let myself down. So that type of hustle, you know, that's why within 3 years I put out 4 books and, you know, I've written 2 stage plays and I've written 2 short films for other people. They haven't been produced yet. They're like in pre-production. But, you know, you got to have a work ethic. I want to be great. I'm not okay with just being good or mediocre.
Right. Now, I get you. So, well, let me ask you. He finally, there you go, Pat. You feel good? After about like 2 years, he be wanting to line stuff up like that. Do it again, Pat. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
That's it, dope.
You finally got that. So, man, it made me forget my question, man.
No, but that was dope. We good. I don't, you know, you don't want to oversaturate the market or nothing. But, you know, what she said, I think, was so good,
yeah,
so powerful, especially with regards to, because in this social media age, everybody want to put everything up on social media, and they want to broadcast what they're doing, and this, that, and the third. And what she said about, you know, it's what you, a lot of the times, it's about what you're doing in your private time, in your secret time, if you will, that has an impact. Like, that's something that I think is not mentioned enough. If you spend all your time focused on what you putting on social media and making sure that you getting this, that, and the third, and the carrying on, and this, that, and the third, then you, like, that's time that you could be spending working on doing whatever else you're doing. That's energy that you could be put into focusing on your craft or creating something new or whatever the case might be.
Right.
So, definitely time management. And you know, another side point to that is social media is a fucking trap. You know, like, you get on Facebook talking about, oh, man, I'm gonna just make this post, and 3 hours later you still ain't made the post.
You better preach. That is the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that was everything she just said right there was deep. I do think we got to acknowledge luck. But if you...
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
If you put your grind into everything, and even if you don't get no lucky breaks, you still have the you know what I'm saying? You still have the confidence and the energy and the self-respect to be able to say, look, man, I gave it my best shake. I ain't got no regrets.
Absolutely.
I did everything
Absolutely.
Possible.
Well, yeah, well, that's why I want to ask you your opinion on how much you think luck plays into people becoming successful or them being able to live off that idea of taking it to the next level. Because, you know, we all know people who work hard, who grind, who kind of put it in. But, you know, for some people, you see it happen. And of course, everybody's time is different. But still, that factor of luck, as I'm more and more on my journey, I'm starting to see that it plays a part, but in your opinion, how much do luck play in people becoming successful, reaching their goals?
Well, I think, you know, and even in today's time, I'm not dissing social media, because I use it heavily myself. But even with that, people should be intentional about how they use it, because, you know, I look at someone like Ella May. Ella May had been posting clips of her singing back when Instagram clips were only 15 seconds. You know what I'm saying? So she was consistent. When you go back and you look at her page, Ella May got at least like 25 to 30 posts of her singing. So you have a lot of people that are hustling. Well, if I go to your page and I look at your last 8 posts, it tells me nothing about what you do. So that lets me know you're not maximizing the opportunities that you have. So do I believe that plays a role? Definitely. But I think people who kind of get big or they hit, it's like they're using social media in a way that most people haven't learned how to use it. You know, some people think, well, if I just put a post up, I'm just putting this post, I ain't going to do nothing. You know, are you putting the correct hashtag? Are you copying your link in certain groups? Because you just never know who may be watching. You know, so I just feel like it definitely plays a big role, but we have to be intentional about how we use you know, social media platforms, other platforms that we may have that may elevate our careers at a quicker pace.
Yeah. People be on there talking about crazy stuff as well, and then they follow it up with a business post, so they kind of don't fully aware of everything that they're doing when they put themselves out there, because like you are your brand. So.
You are. And I'm not, you know, I ain't taking nothing away from people who may be shaking their behind or whatever on social media, but I'm just one of those people. I'm not going to downplay my intelligence for a like or a share.
That's a whole nother market, though. And, I'm going to go off on a quick tangent, because it's one of the things that frustrates me that I kind of noticed about, like, more so Instagram than other ones, because I'm not really on Snapchat or anything like that, but.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lady like you who, it's not your MO to show your body, show your butt, you know, your print and all these things here. And you would have, the vagina print.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was like, what?
But, like, you have a woman in that lane who's doing what she's supposed to do about her business, and you have, like, let's say, you know, a good one can have 43,000 or like 15,000 followers. But young lady over there who half naked ain't talking about it. Now she just, every picture just half naked, booty shot angle, lace front, all that. And, you know, they got 400,000 followers. And it's just like for our listeners and stuff, like they have to understand the part that they play into it too. It's not all about entertainment and lusting and all these things. If you're not supporting the people who are really out here making differences, then you can't be complaining about the changes that's not being made as well.
Absolutely.
That's kind of one of the things that frustrate me. Like, the women who, like, because you always have people, man, these women this and these women that, they ain't queens. But look at the ones you support, though. You can't tell me the girl got, you know, I seen one, the girl got 3 million followers and she don't do nothing but shake her booty. Now, y'all got, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm going to look at it, but come on, man. I mean, I'm just being real. I'm going to look, but I'm not going to follow her before I follow somebody like you.
I'm not even going to look.
I ain't going to lie, I'm going to look. But.
No, I'm not even saying that to say I'm above. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, for me, I get no pleasure out of looking at stuff that I can't have. To me, it becomes frustrating. So I've kind of, like, groomed myself. Like, when I see the half-naked stuff all over Instagram or whatever, I don't even look. Because, look, I can't have it. Like, even if I think you fine, I ain't going to meet you. And if I do meet you, I ain't smashing. So, I don't look for that reason alone. It's just, why am I going to tease myself? So, I want to say that, because I'm definitely not trying to say I'm better than dudes that will look or nothing like that. Just, I'm not going to tease myself. Look, I'm married. I look at my wife all the time.
That's
I can have that. So I look even harder because I can have it.
Absolutely.
There it is. All you lookers.
But I do get what you're saying, and I get what she's saying, and I think that's a whole nother conversation about social media that we could probably have either off the air, or that's a whole nother show, because social media is a monster that, you know, people don't really, they use it to escape life, but they don't understand how they're using it causes different things to happen in their lives as well. So.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, you also got that Hustle Lean, that Hustle Queen Lee YouTube channel, where you do your reviews with Star. Your Star reviews, and you begin a lot of traffic, traction, and responses from those. So, tell people about your YouTube channel, but also for folk like me, what is Star? And why you break that down?
Okay, Star is a television show on Fox that's created by Lee Daniels. It follows the journey of three young women on their quest to stardom in the music industry. And, you know, it just, you know, the ins and outs, the journeys, the pitfalls, you know, the mountain highs, the valley lows of getting to where they want to be in their careers as artist. And so it's just interesting how the show even came about. When the show first aired, honestly, I wasn't feeling the show. I hadn't even watched an episode, but I was hating on the show. And then one day, I was like, you know what? Man, let me see what this show about. So I watched the show and immediately fell in love with it because I fell in love with the theme of kind of being the underdogs but fighting to manifest your dream. I just think that's a powerful message in itself. So that's kind of the first thing that drew me into the actual show. And then I just fell in love with the characters. I fell in love with the storytelling of the show. And so I was just like, the first time I did a video, I was just like, I was just playing. Not playing, but I just wasn't expecting what has happened with my YouTube channel. Because the first video I did it like November of 2017. And I didn't do another one until like 4 months later. And when I started doing it, I'm like, dang, my first video ever had, it got almost 1,000 views. And I'm like, dang, okay. So I started with, you know, doing the reviews for each episode. And I had a video to go viral. It had like over 15,000 views on it. And I did not realize how impactful your words can be, because even though it's a fictional story, when I do my reviews, you know, I try to make it, you know, I'm entertaining itself. I just got to give myself a little props. Like, I'm very entertaining. It's humorous. And also, I put some life, you know, I give some nuggets along the way, too. And so now, every Thursday, I go live on YouTube at 8 o'clock. And it just amazed me how many people, like, normally my lives are like an hour. And it amazed me how people will tune in. They be with me the whole time. And it just has created this phenomenon. Like, when the show goes off, I have people hit me up on Twitter and Instagram like, hey, what you think about this? Hey, were you happy with the show? So it has created a whole nother fan base that I never imagined that I would have. I'm talking about I have young girls, young people, you know, like, thank you so much. I really love you. Like, they treat me like a celebrity. One girl she responded to the video, and I responded to her comment, and she was almost like, oh, my God, I can't believe you responded to me. And I'm like, me? So a lot of this stuff hasn't sunk in yet, but that YouTube crowd is like a whole nother market. These people really have become like we're really cool. They look forward to hearing from me, and I look forward to hearing from them. Like, I love the engagement, you know, of it all. So that has really took on a life of its own.
Yeah. I do want to fight some of my YouTubers.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I do get some negativity, but I flip it. You know, they be negative, and I just give them, like, either, you know, and I'm like, but, you know, why do you watch my show? I mean, why do you watch, well, yeah, why do you watch me? You obviously, and I've learned with doing these videos that people may not like the truth, but I think it's the way that I present it, they like hearing it. Like, it's something to keep pulling them back, even though we may have differences of opinion. But that YouTube, man, like, I love everybody who follow me. It's Hustle Queen Lee is the name of the channel. And it's just an amazing situation right now.
That's what's up. That's what's up. And so, yeah, Hustle Queen Lee is the YouTube channel. So y'all make sure you all check it out, because she be going off on them. So,
I do.
You know. Pat.
Yo.
You ready for your question?
Yo.
Go ahead and make that thing happen. Go ahead and make that thing happen.
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
What question?
The last question. Your question, man.
It's the Eye of the Tiger. All right. I got a bunch of stuff to do right now since I'm working the controls and taking the show notes.
Hey, man, look at you being
over there playing with it, so.
I wash my hands. Stop that.
All right. So, we're going to ask the last question. You know, Patrick Special, as you know, he's been dropped on his head a couple times. So, we're going to start. The last question, we make them feel special. We started a little song like this. Was that a decent Joe imitation?
That's
not the sound. I know I ain't sound like you. I'm talking about all the other stuff.
You know.
Whatever. Anyways. So, if you were the all-powerful, all-knowing ruler of Black America, and you could change anything you wanted, what would you change, and what would your message to them people be?
Oh, I would change the mindset of my people. Oh, my goodness. I would change the mindset. My, what was the second part? What would my,
what would your message be?
My message would be, embracing the value of self. And the reason why it would be that, because when you embrace something, that means you have a deep affection of your self-worth. And I believe that, you know, misguided information, miseducating us on who we are as a people. You know, it's hard for someone who don't look like you to tell you who you are and where you come from. You know, our history did not start with slavery. We come from kings and queens and great civilizations and mathematicians, scientists, composers, so on and so forth. And I just believe that when you do not, when you are voided of that type of embracing, you know, you can, you're easily to be manipulated. You're easily to be controlled about what the news may feed you or what you may get off social media. So my thing would be changing the mindset of how we view ourselves, because, you know, we live in a time frame now where social media beauty of standard is so prevalent. So you got people out here lightening their skin, injections, or, you know, just doing all this crazy stuff. So it's like if you know, to change the mindset of the people to value who we are as a people, you know, I just believe that that would change a lot of what we're seeing in today's time. You know, because you can move people around and put them in better environments, but if you don't change the mind, you're going to have a cycle of continued bad behavior, corrupt mindset. So that would be my thing. Change the mindset, and the message would be, you know, embracing the value of self.
I like it.
Actually, the last time you were on the show,
oh, you got them notes.
2016.
That was 2016.
February 9th, 2016. You said, change the mindset and identity and be the change you want to see.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
I talk to a lot of people, and it amazes me. It amazes me, people's thought process, you know, and I'm not saying that they're wrong, but it just makes me wonder, like, what got you to this place? You know, what experiences that you have that makes you not feel beautiful, not, you know, not feel worthy, you know? So I'm always interested in the way people think, because I just believe that how you think, everything else follows from that perspective. So, yeah, I that probably will always be, I will probably always be in that vicinity of, that would be the answer to that question, always.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Free your mind, and the rest will follow.
And the rest will follow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Be colorblind. Don't be so shallow.
Your best friend, Fry, and your sister, Swallow. Oh!
No!
What?
No!
You filthy, filthy animal.
I'm done.
Killed it, bro.
You see, Pat used to get kicked out of class all the time.
I did.
The fact that it matched the rhyme pattern is impeccable,
Pat. I'm trying to tell you, you know, I used to go.
That's how you're in Vogue, man.
So.
In Vogue, the real freaks, because the rhyme pattern set him up.
Right. I think they did that on purpose for those of
they
us
knew,
who can see it.
They knew in 2018 you was going to do this.
Right.
Hey, man, y'all know www.hustlequeenlee.as.mehustlequeenlee.as as in Apple, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, .m as in mouse, E as in elephant. hustlequeenlee.as.me. Make sure y'all go check out, get you some services. She'll write something for you, hook you up. She'll do the verse, the hook, the beat, charge $30,000 for the song.
Yeah,
thanks. There it is.
You can't just start spelling stuff without us knowing what you're spelling. I was like, what the hell is he spelling?
He did say that. He made reference first.
Nah, but he was just like, HustleQueenLee.S.MEHUSTLE. You're like, you was already spelling stuff, and then spelling more stuff.
No, stop trying to come down on me like that. And when I guess already, then put you on the spot for being not paying attention. Okay. But appreciate you, Alicia. Definitely enjoy the information. We look forward to supporting you more in the future and everything that you got going on. Can't wait till your short story come out. Everybody, y'all, make sure y'all support. Because it go down. And so we would definitely talk to you again in the future.
Yes, and all favor and success to you guys on all of your endeavors as well.
I definitely take that and receive
amen.
That.
Wait, yes. Do you say amen to that?
Hey, you can.
Okay, cool.
Hallelujah.
Cool. All
right, so talk to you later. Thank you, Alicia. All
right, mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. HustleQueenLee.AS.ME. Make sure y'all go check her out. Hey, man, like we told y'all at the top of the show, I'm on, The Fix is on Patreon, and the Lessons from the Screen is on Patreon. So patreon.com/LTFS, Lessons from the Screen, and well, the other one is patreon.com/TheFix. And my own show, The Giants, always also on Patreon, too. I got to throw that out there, too. So patreon.com/OTSOG. Y'all can go support your homeboy. And then my third book is about to drop on Shows of Giants, Volume 3, South America, where I'm covering 12 unsung heroes who helped improve conditions for Black and Indigenous people in South America, and profiling one culture, the Juca culture. So it's going to be out soon on Amazon and on my website. So www.ontheshouldersone.com, but go to patreon.com/OTSOG. Support your homeboy. We out here trying to make moves, do what we doing, man. Support your homeboy. Ain't that right, Pat?
Yeah. Pax has a Patreon page, too, our sponsor.
Ooh,
tell them about it. P-A-C-T-S. You get, you'll be joining the movement. Becoming a member, you get access to the up-to-date information on the books and things that are being uploaded to the site, as well as when new audiobooks are uploaded to the website in their complete form. You'll have access to those audiobooks right away on the Patreon page in their entirety without having to click through all of the chapters like you would on the website. So, you know, we out here, adding the words of Joseph Alahusha's Ward.
Hey, man, we out here. We out here doing our thing. You hear me?
Yep.
So with that being said, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all's support. The Freedom Train Network is growing because of you, so we ask that you could please continue to support us, continue to rock with us as we move forward. I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train podcast series right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Two fingers in the air like a player. Spit them apart. Peace.